Blog Talk Radio.
Every part of my body was in place. Many people died and never saw this day. So another day I live, I appreciate. Don't ever wanna act too high and mighty, cause tomorrow I can fall down on my face. So in everything, Lord, I give you praise. And that puts a smile on my face. Lord, I thank you for sunshine.
Praise the Lord. Welcome to Live Deliverance Internet Radio here on blogtalk.com. I am your host, Brother Mike, this evening. And tonight we have Pastor Steve Lee with us, and he's going to be doing part two of his teaching on the faith of God. Yes, sir. We're going to be doing part two of the faith of God. So as always, I do encourage you and everybody out there listening to grab pen, pencil, paper, whatever you need, and take down some notes and get ready for some dialogue after the teaching tonight. We would like to thank you for tuning in and listening to us here. And with that being said, we're going to go ahead and get started. Pastor Steve, you have the mic.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Mike. Brothers and sisters, let's just go ahead and get into the word for today. Father, I ask you to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Open mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of your word. Breathe on me so that I can speak, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Flow through me and cause me to move by your spirit, that healing and deliverance break forth in this place, in this time, because of your word, your spirit, and your love. Live big in me. I now decrease so that you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life as I now share the living word, the bread of life. Jesus, reveal to us the Father and draw us into his presence where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts and our minds as we allow the peace of God to rule in our lives. Cause us to grow in the grace that has appeared unto all men as you teach us how we should live in this present world. For you have made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak to our spirit and birth victory in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name, I pray. Beloved, today we want to, again, talk about the faith of God. And because we had a break in the teaching last week, I'm kind of going to go back and pull some things up to, A, remind us, and then those that weren't here last time, to again reintroduce us to some things. You know, God wants us to win. He's given us faith to bring us victory in every situation and circumstance that we can ever face. Jesus came and he displayed both the faith and the path that we should walk in. See, that's good to know, because I am no longer a sojourner that's solo. I am one that follows Christ. I have to walk out my path alone, because my path is determined by the heart position that I display toward the Lord. You know, Jesus said things that sometimes I guess we kind of look over, but he made a promise that those that were hungry and that were thirsty for righteousness, they would be filled. If you are hungry for the things of God, God will make sure that you get that. You know, I came from denominational churches, and they taught what they knew, and I'm not mad about it. I'm not going to judge that. I can't make a person walk according to my understanding of the word. I cannot make a person walk according to my desire of the word. All I can do is allow God to work in me. And I did that. I remember it was a Thanksgiving service that I went to at a church. And, you know, I was really thankful. That's why I went to a Thanksgiving service. And I expected then that the man of God would help me with Thanksgiving, how to grow in and display Thanksgiving in a deeper way, in a way that is unmistakable. That's what I was looking for. And so he got there, and they sang a couple of the songs of Zion. And the next thing I know is he was preaching a political message on Thanksgiving. He threw things in it that would make you, if you were of the same ethnicity that he was, it would make you be thankful that you ain't where he was referencing, that you've come to another place. But it was so full of political jargon that I began to get upset. And I began to ask God, why was this happening? Why did he allow that? And so I said, well, God, just I tell you what, I see that I'm judging, and I don't want to judge, but I just need some help. God, if you would just have him to quote a scripture, I believe you to get it to my heart by yourself. And I just prayed that prayer, and the next thing that I know, the man said, turn to Philippians chapter 4. And really, after he said, turn to Philippians chapter 4, I didn't hear anything else the man said. Not that I was tuning him out. I was rather tuning God in. I want you to catch that. See, if I end up in judgment, then I'm tuning out the one that I don't want to hear from. But if I allow God to speak to my heart, he can speak to me in the midst of a storm. I'm just reminded of when the disciples were in the boat and Jesus gave them a word of victory while they were in the midst of the storm. He said, "Peace, be still." He was speaking into their circumstances because they were the ones that were tossed to and fro with the winds. They were the ones that were beginning to fear. See? And he spoke to them in the midst of their trouble, and that word delivered them. It said in I think it was in Luke, that after he told them that they should be able to speak faith into the situation, that after he said that, he said, and immediately they were at the other side. See, I love the way that God does things. In the midst of a fight, he gives a word, and the hearing of that word, the application of that word, takes you to the next place. Okay? I just want you to kind of think about that. That's the potential that the faith of God that's resident on the inside of you has. If you find yourself in situations and circumstances that have been unresolved for quite some time, I would submit that you're not listening to God. You're busy tuning out what you don't like rather than tuning in the word of the living God. That's what I want you to do. That's your primary takeaway from today. We're just going to tune in. Okay, because the Bible teaches us things. In Romans, it says that we overcome evil with good. Okay, he didn't say for you to turn out the evil. He said turn up the good. Okay, I'm just trying to get you to see how it works. You don't have the ability or energy that's necessary to turn off one and then think you're going to be able to, with the measure that you need, turn on the other. Because half of your energy is expended in tuning somebody else out. See, I'm learning some things about God just by spending time with him. Okay? You can spend time with God again. Paul was in the jailhouse. He was locked up. But Paul didn't spend much time in the physical jail. He wrote things like this in the Colossians. He said, the next time y'all get together for church, I'll be there and the power of the Lord will be there. Wait a minute. Whoa, Paul, I thought you were locked up in prison. No, Paul said, the next time y'all get together, I'll be in the midst. I'll be joining and beholding your order. Okay, I know y'all say, what? How do you do that? Well, see, this is the power of God that's alive in you. And if you would allow God to do that, he will show you things that you don't know. He said, call upon me, and I will show you great and mighty things that you don't know. See? So we've got to allow God to show us the things that are necessary for our lives. See, we just kind of put things on the basis of if we like it, if we agree with it, then that means God's in the midst. No. Paul was in jail and making declarations that we don't even kind of understand. We just think that, you know, some kind of way God's going to get in here and make it all work together for my good. I was talking to my daughter today, and I love the way that God opens things up for me, because we quote that scripture that says that we know. It didn't say we guess, and we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God, for those who are the called according to his purpose. Please hear the scripture. He said, all things have to work together. If I'm not allowing the things that I don't like to be in the midst of the things that I want,
then all things are not present, are they? That's just approved things are present. Things that I want to participate in are present. But no, he said all things are going to work together for my good. See, I've found that he wants me to allow the word to be the word rather than me try to make the word what I want it to be. I would still be practicing control and manipulation if that's what I'm doing. I'm still actually displaying a distrust in God. Because my heart says I only trust God when things are done according to my understanding. Okay? And he wants me to go beyond my understanding. He wants me to enter into the realm of faith. Because when I enter into the realm of faith, faith is always preceded by, undergirded by love. For faith worketh by love. See, and if I function in love, I know that love never fails. See, love does not give me an understanding if I'm not using it. So please, I hope you understand that. If I'm going to use intellect and call my intellect faith or say that my intellect is the thing that reaches God, the thing that pleases God. Well, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 tells us that without faith, it's impossible to please God. I can't reach him at the level that will cause pleasure to him through intellect. See, but we kind of think that, you know, if it's done according to my 1, 2, 3 ABC, then me and God is okay. No, God is okay. Let's start there. God already is okay. See, his word is forever settled in the heavens. He is okay. He's trying to get you to function in the place where he called you because he made you sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. See, so then if you would understand that you are living out this life of faith because of the place he's seated you, then you don't have to... You don't have to see if it's going to work out and then say, now I'm believing God. I told my daughter this, and I hadn't really thought about it much, but it just comes out. There are two places, if you would, that he's made you to seat with him. Okay? One place is at the table because he said, I will prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. Okay, so he's made a table that he wants you to sit down at. Revelation 3 tells us this. It says, behold, I stand at the door knocking. If any man will open the door, then I will come in and my father will come in and we will sit down and we will sup with him. That's a seated position at the table. He's also made you sit with him at the throne. Because you have a dispensation that you've been invited to rule and reign with him. Now, here is the thing that I said I hadn't thought about before. But the king does not lose his kingdom dominion when he leaves the throne and goes to sit down at the dinner table. He's still the king. He's just in a different seat. Okay? So I want you to know that because you function in two places at the same time. You function here on the earth, but you've been seated together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, where you are a partaker of all spiritual blessings. See? And if we would get that, then I don't have to try to function according to my intellect. That would probably be way down. I know it would be way down on the list because he tells us that we should not lean to our own understanding, but that we should acknowledge God in all of our ways, and then he will give us instruction. He will direct our paths from the position that he has made us to sit together with him. But if I'm going to lean to my own understanding, Even though I've been made to sit together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, where all spiritual blessings are mine, I'm going to come up short. Because every time I lean, the next thing after a lean is usually a fall. It's usually me ending up in lack. Because I cannot attain to a thing if I'm moving in the wrong direction. Falling away from the promise, falling away from the blessing, falling away from the victory, because my understanding is unfruitful, and I chose to lean on it. Okay? That's not having the faith of God, because he's the one that gave you the authority to be in the position that's with him, that's beside him, that's in him. See, God thinks like that, y'all. God put you in him and made you sit beside him. Come on. Because you are in Christ Jesus. See? So if we would begin to just say, okay, God, I need to stop running my life according to my intellect. I need to put that thing in park. Okay? I need to activate the mind of Christ. Isn't that what he told us to do? He said, let this mind be in you. That was also in Christ Jesus. He said, that is an operative phrase, let. Let this mind. I can let or I cannot let. I could allow or I cannot allow. And if I'm leaning to my own understanding, I am not allowing this mind that was in Christ Jesus to be developed in me. It's still resident, but it's not developed. See, that's why sometimes we'll have the understanding that I know what the word says. Well, I don't believe that you possibly know it. I believe that you are familiar with it, because the thing that you know is generally the thing that you do. See? But if you just are trying a thing out, that's why I used to tell my daughter all the time. She said, Daddy, I'm trying. I said, find me the scripture that says a trier of the word is blessed. The way I see the scripture, it's a doer of the word is blessed, and he's blessed in all his deeds. Right? So then I need to put my intellect in pause and let my spirit lead. Because my spirit can receive information that's completely at a higher level of victory. I can continue to experience I can experience breakups, but I'm interested in a breakthrough. I don't want to just continue to deal in the rubble of life because of a breakup. Okay? I want to go above that level, and I want to break through. I want to go into the next realm, into the higher dimension. See, and that requires the faith of God. And the faith of God is not an intellectual experience. It is a spiritual connection and a spiritual release. If I don't have both, it doesn't work. I say it all the time. If God is your deliverer, then he has to both take you from where you are and bring you to where you should be. That is delivery. The delivery is always two parts. If I don't take you from where you are and to where you should be, then the delivery is not complete. I would be in the process of delivering. But God didn't say he's the one that's in the process of delivering. He said he is our deliverer. See? I'm trying to encourage you and build your faith that God has already worked the thing out, and then he wants you to walk in the steps that he has preordained for you. That's what it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath foreordained that we should walk in them. See, there are steps that were preordained. They were already ordered for you to walk in. I was hearing the minister speak about the video that was made for Billie Jean, and I'm sure some of you can relate to this, but they had pre-lit squares that Michael was supposed to dance on. And when he touched the square, the light was supposed to already be on. And as talented a dancer as Michael was, you know, he didn't grasp the concept at first. And so the ones that were making the video said, Michael, please, sir, we've already set up the scene that we want you to follow the light. The thing that's already lit, you can dance all you want to on that one while it's lit. And then when the next one lights up, go to it. That's the same way God has preordained your steps that you should walk in. He has the illumination of a word that he's spoken to you, that he's given to you. And he wants that word to be alive in you. And the way that that word becomes alive in you is you rehearse it, and then you release it. You say it, and then you obey what you say. If you're going to call him your deliverer, then you say, because he's my deliverer, I will now take the step of those who are delivered. I will walk in the path that's preordained for me. And when you do that, it's guaranteed that you will end up in victory, because these steps are preordained. And the step that's preordained is God always causes you to triumph. He gives you the victory. When I walk in the steps that are ordered of the Lord, because a good man's steps are ordered of the Lord. See? He already wants you to walk here, to do this. You know, you say, well, they hurt me, and so I'm going to walk in unforgiveness. That was never a step that was preordained for you. That is a step that the enemy is using to stall you. He's going to delay your breakthrough and just give you a break up. A separation from things that should be. That's what you're getting when you just get a break up. But if I get a breakthrough, I enter into the place that I was preordained to walk. That's what makes this so easy. Jesus promised us. He said, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. When I light up something in your life, when I illuminate your life with a word, because the entrance of his word, it giveth light. I love that. He said the entrance of his word, not the presentation of his word. Because a lot of people know what the word says. That's what they speak. But they don't do it, because that word has not yet entered into them, entered into their life. Because when that word enters into their life, that word is what they walk in. That's the path that is preordained for us. And so then we'll go, you know what? I will pray for those that despitefully use me. I will intercede on their behalf, that God would be able to give them revelation to the acknowledging of the truth that's in him. See, when we do that, as we do that, we are then calling for his kingdom to be done, his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's how his kingdom comes. His kingdom does not come. His kingdom does not come by observation. His kingdom comes because of obedience. And obedience is never imputed. Obedience has to be executed. You have to do that. See? So then if God says, oh, no man, anything but to love him, then you have to walk out that word that contains the obedience of doing it, so that your steps are now ordered, so that you can go from glory to glory. Hallelujah. See, this is how it works, beloved. We're supposed to have steps that were preordained that we should walk in them. And I love the way he's opening it up to me. Notice that the steps that are preordained were not necessarily pre-timed, okay? You don't have to get to it on this particular day just because it's ordained. Because he could have said the same thing to you when you were dull of hearing. But today, because you were letting faith be alive, you hear it, and that step did not change. It was already preordained. Okay? It's like God knew you were going to come to the place that you were hungry and thirsty enough to allow that word that was spoken for your life from the foundation of the earth to be utilized today. That's why he says today, if you will hear his voice. Harden not your heart, as people have done in the time of testing and trials, in the provocation. They harden their heart. They said they stopped up their ears, if you would, and they would not hear truth. Because when I hear truth, at any time during our life that we hear truth and walk in the truth, that's what Jesus said. He says, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples in what you do. And you will know the truth, become intimate with the truth, and then that truth will cause you to walk in a preordained step, victory, freedom, liberty. You will know the truth, become intimate with the truth, and the truth causes you to be free. Notice he did not say, and the truth will cause the circumstances to change. Glory to God. The truth will cause you to be free so that the circumstances no longer hold you bondage. They do not hold you captive. Circumstances no longer dictate. Now I can begin to pray, and as I pray, as I pray, the Bible gives it to us like this in Psalm 27. It says that now my hand shall be lifted up above my enemies. Because this is the one thing that I desire, that I might inquire in your temple, that I might behold the beauty of your holiness. This is what I want to look at, God. And when I do that, I enter into preordained steps, preordained positioning, glory to God, so that I can then experience liberty on the inside, that I don't have to judge and hold them accountable for something that's holding me in bondage. Oh, please hear that. When I hold people in accountable for making it right with me, I'm held in bondage by that. That's why Jesus told us in John chapter 20, verses 20 and 21, it says, whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. Whosoever sins you retained, they are retained. The phrase there, they are retained, means that you got to keep holding on to that place that you're retaining them in. In order to make someone go to jail, someone has to watch over them in the jail. And you become the warden of the jail that you just tried to lock somebody else up in. But when you lock someone else up in that jail, you have to be in the same jail with them so that they can stay there. See? So you've got to purpose in your heart that you're going to just walk in preordained steps. Walk in the victory that he's given you, the one that he's asking you to love your way into. Again, I'm saying it again, faith works by love. He's asking you to love your way into the faith position so that there will be no stopping that faith position from executing everything God has ordained for your life. Okay, I'm just trying to get this. This was not part of my notes. This is just live, okay? It's coming out because it's necessary for us to know in these times that we're going to have to choose love. We're going to have to choose it because nothing else works. Your intellect will fail. Your anger, the Bible even teaches us, your anger, your rod, the rod of his anger shall fail. See? The only thing that overcomes is going to be love. See? And then when we understand from 1 Corinthians 13 what love does, then we'll see, okay, yes, I can measure, I can observe my position of heart and say, no, I was counting that thing against me. And love never takes an account of a wrong that was suffered. Okay? So if I'm going to do what the Bible says, win the way the Bible says I'm supposed to win, then love is mandatory. Love is not even optional. And love is going to be it's going to be the evidence, Jesus said, by this will they know that you are my disciples. When you have love, one towards another. See, he didn't say love for one another. That might be good. But he said love towards. In other words, it has to be seen. It has to be experienced. The song used to say, love isn't love until you give it away. Love is not a mental exercise. Love has to become active by execution. See? Love isn't love until you give it away. Love cannot support your faith when it's withheld. Love that is a thought has never been released. Love is an action word, just as faith is an action word. And if I don't release and have love, then my action of faith is negated. See, God has so much love and allows his faith to work from that love so easily, it says God so loved the whole world. He came into his own, and his own received him not, but it did not cut off his love. And because that love was still active in his heart and in the earth, because the word was in the earth, then that love took him past the cross. I'm saying it as I hear it. The love of God did not just take Jesus to the cross. The love of God took him to resurrection. Glory to God. So your love is going to have to take you past some things. It's going to have to take you past offense. It's going to have to take you past hurt. It's going to have to take you past memory recall. If your love does not take you past, then your faith will not be active in the dimension you want your love to be active in. See, that was the faith of God in display. See, he came to us and we rejected him, and he still walked in love among us, before us. That's why he's the author and developer of your faith, because he's going to, at the same time, develop your faith. He's going to have to develop your love. Faith works by love. So if there are any of you that's trying to believe God being mad at somebody, trust me, it doesn't work. Let's find this principle in Mark chapter 11, verses 22 through 26. Go ahead and turn there. And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God, or the literal translation says, have the faith of God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. Okay, that's good, sir. But shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, that whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you have received them, and you shall have them. Then he says that as this process goes out, it says that as you stand praying, do what? See? It says, as you stand praying, forgive. Isn't that interesting? See? That if you're going to do this and make it work, then you're going to have to get to the place where the forgiveness or the love that's required as an undergirding of your faith. Okay? If you don't have the love as an undergirding of your faith, then this whole thing is over. How can I have the faith of God if I don't participate in the love of God? Did you see how he just connected them to? Okay? I mean, just so that you get it and understand that everything in the scripture is connected. We read and study it in chapter and verse. That's okay. But it was connected to one another. Okay? So, again, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things, verse 24, you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. And, the and is a conjunction. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any. Why do I have to do that, God? So that your Father, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. And since he cannot, because you're blocking the way, he cannot allow your faith to do what your faith is needing to do. See, I mean, we've got to understand that the love and faith will always be connected, because God is love, and what comes out of love is faith. Okay? Please, you can write that one down. All right? God is love, and what comes out of love is faith. Okay? What comes out of love is the fruit of the Spirit. All right. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. Okay? And I do recognize, y'all, sometimes when you study with me, you better have your track shoes on. All right? Because it comes in kind of fast. Okay? Galatians chapter 5. And let's just look at how it is stated. All right? In verse 22 and following, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Which was the first one out to shoot? Love. So if I don't function in love, then the rest of this whole litany is not going to work. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And love is manifest by joy. It's manifest by peace. It's manifest in long-suffering. It's manifest in gentleness. It's manifest in goodness. It's manifest in faith. See, if I don't function in love, forget the rest of it. I'm just massaging my ego, I guess. But I'm not walking in the Spirit. Come on, y'all. I'm not walking in the Spirit if love is not active. Because the first primary Spirit that is seen and delineated here is the fruit of the Spirit is love. And then some of the adjectives and adverbs of the noun love is joy. Okay? You see how it goes? See? Now we got to get that. Or we can forget everything working that the promises of God have made available for us. He's waiting on you, because just the reading of the word is not the one that's going to get blessed. He says the doer of the word gets blessed. So then, of course, the enemy is going to come immediately to test your love. Because if my love is not working, my faith cannot work. If my love is not evident, I don't have enough strength that joy can produce. See? I mean, if you would just look at it, take the time as you read scripture to, again, find out what was actually said, not what you just thought. Okay? Because I'm sure for many years, I ran right over the fruit of the Spirit is, that small two-letter word, is love. See? If love is not evident, if it's not in place, then the rest of the fruit, if you would, cannot be manifest. It cannot be released. Love is the primary. It is the overarching spirit that allows everything else to exist. Okay? Because God is love. And you can see, measure, contact that love because of joy, because of temperance, because of meekness, because of goodness, because of long-suffering, because of temperance. I said that once. See? You can measure it because love is present in all of them. Okay? And if love is not present, primarily present, readily seen. Okay. Again, if I'm thinking that I'm going to withhold love for whatever the reason I want to withhold love, then I'm also withholding victory. Because this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And our faith worketh by love. So if my love is not evident, easily seen, and seen sometimes in situations that I particularly don't want to let it be released. See, I want to give them a piece of my mind. Wow, Lord, that's good. I want to give them a piece of my mind, and God is wanting me to give them a piece of his love. See? And that's even interesting, y'all. This is not even our love that we're talking about. Because the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart. He's asking you to release his love that he put inside you. So don't you tell me you can't forgive. Don't you tell me you can't love. It's not even your love he's asking you for. He's asking you to release the deposit of love that was put in your life when you got saved. You can go at it this way. He knew you couldn't forgive. That's why he gave you his love. So that it wouldn't cost you anything. Because Jesus paid for their forgiveness. Glory to God. I already even said that. That whom I forgave anything, I forgave them in the person of Jesus Christ. Yeah. See, you're not the one doing anything. Jesus is the author and finisher, developer of your faith. And the only way your faith can be developed is that your love is going to have to be enlarged. I hope y'all getting this. See, if you're believing God for more faith to be released, no, what you're going to have to do is allow God to let your love be seen. I guess I might go over there and start with that. I hope y'all followed this. Again, I know it was a lot. Go back and look at Mark 11. And Mark 11 tells you that if you're going to have the faith of God, it is connected to your forgiveness. It's connected to his love. Okay? And if you will understand that, then you will be able to say, as I release the sequential order of the fruit of the Spirit, I'm going to have to let love and joy and peace cause me to be calm and strengthened so that I can then flow in the love that was put on the inside of me in this case, the situation that I'm in. See, the order of the release of the fruit of the Spirit is also important, okay? Because he knew that you was going to need strength, okay? That's why he said it in that order. It's love, then strength that joy produces. You know, it would be good for us to look at a thing that every time we have an opportunity to forgive and release, we should count it. If this is what the book of James tells us. It says, my brethren, do me a favor, count it all joy when you fall into divers tests and temptations and trials. Knowing this, that the working of your faith. And how does faith work? Faith works because love is alive. If love is not alive, faith cannot work. Okay. So he says, count it all joy. Why? Because that joy means you recognize the need for love, and now you're calling for the joy of the Lord to give you strength so that the love can be released. And then after you have found the strength from the love, now you can function in the peace that strength gives you. Glory to God. See, I don't have to be mad trying to forgive. If I'm mad while I'm trying to forgive, I did not receive the joy that was strengthening me, did I? Right? Because if when I do it the right way, the joy will strengthen me and it will release or connect with the peace that passes my understanding. See? I'm happy to walk in peace. He told us that with everything that lies within you, live peaceably with all men. If I'm going to live peaceably with all men, then joy would have had to release the strength from love so that can now take place. So I can be able to say, while Jesus is being crucified, he said, Father, forgive them for the joy that was set before him. Come on, y'all. Look at how even Jesus walked in this. Hebrews chapter 12. He said, Jesus set joy before him. And when he said, Satan, because it's the peace of God that bruises Satan under your heels shortly. See, we've got to, again, just go back to the place where if I'm wanting the faith of God to work in my life, to work through me, then it is paramount that the love of God be active and released. See? And as I do that, he recognizes that you're going to have to receive strength to do that. So he said, yep, the fruit of the Spirit goes the way this is. First, you look at, find the love of God that requires a thing. Then you find the joy and the strength of God that allows the thing to be your thought process now. Then the peace of God that goes beyond what you can see and understand in the natural. See? Then, notice this. I mean, this is just good, y'all. Once the peace is now in the proper place, now I'm not trying to get this thing done and worked out yesterday. I can now function in long suffering. Ooh-wee. I hope you find the order of this, that God is asking us to just go ahead and participate the way he laid it out. These are your steps that are preordained that you should walk in. You want to see victory? You want to see your faith? Please notice this, y'all. Faith ain't even been mentioned yet. Faith has not even been mentioned yet. After you get through long suffering, and after you are gentle in your long suffering, I can't be mad about my long suffering working things in me. Because it can't work out until it's worked in, beloved. It's Christ that's both working in you to do and to will of his good pleasure. He's got to work it in so that you can work it out. If I don't, no deposit, no return. Okay? If I don't allow what he's put in there to be worked in so that it becomes the thing I reach for, that because it's worked in, what's worked out is also my intellect, my right to it, doing it my way. That's worked out. That's no longer an option anymore. Because I recognize that love requires a sacrifice. Every time, all of the time. God wanted to redeem us. Love required a sacrifice. Jesus was that sacrifice. So that if I'm going to have my faith to work, then love is going to have to require a sacrifice. I'm going to have to give up my way and decide and purpose to walk in his way. I'm going to walk in the joy and strength of the Lord. I'm going to walk in the peace of the Lord. I'm going to walk in the long suffering of the Lord. And I'm going to do that in gentleness. I'm going to do that in goodness. Come on, y'all. One of the things that he's saying to me now is that the goodness would be in the attitude of not trying to do tit for tat anymore. It's an attitude of goodness. The Bible teaches us that it's the goodness of the Lord that leads you to the place of repentance. See, I haven't even got to the place where I've really changed my mind yet, because I'm still arguing with myself saying they owe me. He says, well, then you haven't employed goodness, because goodness is not going to look at the evil that was done against it. Goodness is going to say, I am one that holds the blessing. And because I am the one that has inherited the blessing, I'm going to release the blessing. I was blessed to be a blessing. I was not just blessed to enjoy a blessing. I was blessed to be a blessing. And one of the best times to be a blessing is when you are confronted with hurt. Oh, I know that's not the way you think. We when we're confronted with hurt, we then try to stir up revenge, retaliation, repatriation. We're going to make them pay. No, no, no. He says you were called unto the place of inheritance because you blessed. Don't curse. Contrarywise, blessing. For thereunto are you called, that you might inherit a blessing. This is what Jesus was telling us in the Mount of the Sermon at the Mount. He said, pray for those that persecute you, those that despitefully use you. Pray for them. Why? Because love is evident now. love can be easily seen now. I know we feel like that makes people walk all over us. If, in fact, that's what happens, please let yourself be a bridge to the Lord. Let them walk on you so they can get to him. Amen. See, but if you're going to make sure that you protect yourself, then they cannot get to the Lord because you're protecting yourself. You're now not a bridge. You're now a drawbridge. Okay? Instead of a bridge that allows passage, you are a bridge that stops the passage because you are in the up position and everybody has to stop because of your offense. Okay? So he says, so if you're going to do this, you're going to function with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and now you can release faith. You can engage faith. Okay, that's true, sir. That's good. The reason why I can see this in this order is because faith is the action now of where you want to go to. And if my intention was off before I activated my faith, if I didn't have the strength from joy and the peace, if I didn't employ them and line things up correctly, then I'm going to believe God for the wrong thing. I'm going to try to do what John wanted to do when he said, I wanted to call down fire from heaven. And that's what we need to do, Jesus. They didn't like us. They didn't appreciate us. I can call down fire. And Jesus said, oh, whoa. You don't know what spirit you are. See, they wanted to exercise faith in destruction. And God did not want his faith to be used for destruction. His faith is to be used for salvation. That's what Jesus displayed. He came into his own and his own received him. He did not release those 12 legions of angels. He released love, and because of that, we are able to enter into the faith that he opened up, that he activated. That's why you can't get from love to faith without going through the peace, without going through the joy, without going through the long-suffering, the gentleness, and the goodness. Now my faith will contact God and execute righteousness on the earth. That's why he asks the question, when the Son of Man comes back, will he find faith on the earth? Oh, my God. He did not say, will he find stuff on the earth? He didn't say. He told us that a man's life does not consist of the things that he possesses. So he's not going to be coming back here looking for stuff. He's going to come back looking for faith. And that faith has to be the ability to restore a brother. Because if you are spiritual, going right on down to chapter 6 in this, he says, if you're spiritual, then you should work on restoration. If you see a brother overtaken in a fault, if you see a brother overtaken in a fault, if he's jumping on your case, you see that brother overtaken in a fault. And you who are spiritual, restore him. Because you know what your faith was for. Your faith was to restore. It was to bring healing. It was to bring deliverance. Because the only people that hurt people are hurt people. And the people that cause people not to function on their hurt is people that are healed. Because healed people heal people. He didn't say healed people buy more stuff. Boy, I hope y'all connected to this. See, this probably is where we miss it because we go to the word with an expectation of stuff instead of an execution of the law of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. I mean, we ain't even got to there. We can see that faith works best when it is used for the betterment of other people. Because love isn't love until it's given away, the betterment of other people. If my faith is only for my needs, then I didn't understand all of what joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness was therefore to give my faith a good position so that it can be used. That becomes the channel, if you would, for faith to flow through. Glory to God. And then it will also be manifest in meekness and in temperance. And meekness and temperance, that's good, sir. Meekness and temperance is understood by others as it is displayed to them, isn't it? When they come at me and they hollering and screaming and I release love, I release meekness to them, that would be a drawing card, wouldn't it? When I release temperance in their presence, when I am consistently, constantly the same, I'm not mad because of what they did. I'm not judging because of what they did, what they're doing. I'm going to rather say, I'm going to release a blessing into your life. Love requires that of me. Love gave me the opportunity. That's what this is. Every offense is an opportunity for the love of God to be seen. Yes, please, write that down. Every offense is an opportunity for the love of God to be seen, to be displayed by you. Glory to God. See, if we would operate from that position, again, you can hear the words of Jesus in that. He said, Father, forgive them, but they don't know what they're doing. He was the one that was innocent. He had no business being up on that cross. But he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. I'm not going to hold it against them. I'm going to give them the opportunity to let faith come alive unto them. So I'm not calling down fire. I'm letting the love of God, the love of God in me, be a bridge from them to you. I'm going to be the one releasing that love. And it's a bridge from them, wow, to you. I'm not important. I'm just the bridge. I'm not the direction. I'm just the bridge. When I get to heaven, I will hear, well done, because I was simply the bridge. I was the conduit through which that love flowed, to which that faith became something they could contact. They're looking for answers. They're looking for hope. They're looking for a reason to find life instead of finding death. And I'm going to be that conduit. I'm going to be that bridge. I'm going to make sure that the faith of God, the faith that he's given to me, is seen and easily seen because I choose to walk by the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, which is joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. It is encapsulated in the love of God, which has been shed abroad in my heart. Beloved, that is the faith of God in action. That is the flow that he wants you to live in, walk in, and display. Because when you do that, you are executing Proverbs chapter 16, 7 and 8. And it says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he will make even his enemies to be at peace with him. So you won't have to fight because your enemies will become those that listen to the one they've seen walk in love. They'll listen to that person because it was already stated that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And when they see you displaying love for them, when they know they intended you wrong, and they know that you know that they intended you wrong, and you'd rather release the love of God. You'd rather find the joy that love offers. Find the peace that joy supplies. Find the long suffering that peace allows you to stand in. Find the gentleness that long suffering is requiring. Find the goodness that then releases your faith. find the meekness and the temperance that takes you away from bondage, the law, and gets you into the place where the Spirit of God is easily accessed, easily received, and easily walked out. But the choice is yours. Which way will you do it? Your way or God's way? God's waiting on you today. Father, we just thank you. And we just bless you for giving us opportunities to bring your faith alive, the faith that's been deposited in our heart, shed abroad in our heart. We don't have to look for it. It's already there. We just need to release it, Father. Thank you that you are strengthening us by your joy, settling us in your peace, causing us then to be able to withstand all of the attacks of the enemy, not wavering, but knowing that you are faithful that promised. And so because you are not a man that you should lie, nor the son of man that you should repent, we will enjoy good at your hand because we were called unto that place of blessing, that place of free-flowing love by your faith. We give you praise for that, sir. We give you glory and honor. Committing it to you is done in the matchless name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who is Lord and Savior. And the redeemed say it together. Amen. Amen. Glory to God.
Amen. Wow. Amen. All right. Okay, folks, we're going to go ahead and open up the lines for a commentary, dialogue with about tonight's teaching. Starting with area code 678-469.
678-469. Praise the Lord. Welcome. 678-469. You have the mic. Hallelujah. And again, we just thank you for participating in the broadcast. And we just I hope you got something out of it. As Pastor Mike said, take some notes and go back and visit this. This is just good information. Amen. Amen, Brother Mike.
Amen. All right. 678-677.
678-677. You have the mic. Go ahead.
This is Minister Steve's daughter. I just wanted to say it was just a blessing, awesome teaching always. But I love the fact that, you know, that I always say you, it's always a decision. So you just have to choose. And today I just have to choose to forgive in my life, period. And so I just want to say thank you for just teaching that throughout my life anyway, and giving that to others. So it was just a good ministry. I just wanted to say that.
Amen. Amen. Glad it blessed you. And that's why I said that it does not have dates and when you have to activate it, because even though you said I taught you this all your life, today you came to a place where that's the end of it. We ain't going back over because that you're not going through that dead end no more. You're going to do it right. And amen. That's just good. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hi, Brother Mike.
Wow. All right. Area code 312. 312.
Amen.
Hello?
Area code 312. Yes, go ahead. You have the mic.
Okay. I just wanted to say thank God for the word that you gave us today. So much word. I love it. I told you before, I just love it because it's the scripture after scripture after scripture, and faith cometh by hearing. So you're absolutely correct about that. And, you know, every time I listen to you, God always gives me something. And you were talking about how your steps are ordered.
Yes.
Okay. And God just, it was like all of this at one time. He said, you know, Moses was always the predetermined one to do what he did.
Sure.
Even though after he killed the Egyptian, he thought right. that his brother would have understood that he was chosen.
Right.
He was the deliverer. But he was, and then he had to run away. And what, 40 mm-hmm. years later, he sees
Correct.
The burning bush. But the fact of right. the matter is, from the beginning, he was chosen
sure,
to do that.
Yeah.
Everybody
yeah.
needs to know that even, and he killed a man, okay? This
right.
is anybody
right.
that's done anything wrong. He killed a
right.
man, but, right. excuse me, but God still used him. And there was
right.
no law being granted, okay, because the law
mm-hmm.
didn't come until after that.
After. Mm-hmm.
But
that's
God
right.
God is not above anybody coming to him. Doesn't make any
Correct.
Difference what you've done. Okay, and
right.
then, excuse me, the next thing that I wanted to say was, there was something else. I didn't get a chance to write it down today. It was in the book of John. Okay, well, he just dropped something else. And another person who did the same thing, King David.
Right, right.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
he killed
sure.
Uriah the
sure.
Hittite. So and
mm-hmm.
the law was in effect then, but it said God put away
mm-hmm.
his sin. So sure. like I said, maybe that's sure. all I'm supposed to say today. No matter what
Amen.
You've done, you haven't done
Amen.
Anything that God didn't already know that you were going
Correct.
To do. So
right.
you can always go to God in prayer. Oh, the other thing was obedience is better than sacrifice. And you
yes,
talked about when you stand praying, it
mm-hmm.
doesn't mean stand in your spirit.
No,
get up.
No, right, right, right.
Okay?
Right. Sure, sure.
Get
sure.
up and pray. When it says go into
right.
your closet, he's just looking
right,
for obedience.
Right.
These are little things,
right.
little things,
sure,
but they make
sure,
such a difference.
Sure.
Okay, again, yes. thank you so much for all of the word. Appreciate it. Love you all. Bye-bye.
Amen. Love you, too. Amen. And when we get to the, you brought two Old Testament examples, but Paul was much better. Saul, when he was Saul, did all these things. He even gave by his own testimony. He said, y'all ain't even seen sin. I'm the big dog of sin. I'm the chief sinner. You see, I did all kind of blasphemy. I did everything that people have done, and yet Jesus chose to use me. He called me a chosen vessel. I mean, you need to just get this. Your mistakes are not as big as your God. So go to your God, because he said you can come and you can find the grace to help in the time of need. So go to your God and say, you know what? I'm going to find your love. And let your love produce in me the joy, the rest of the fruit of the Spirit, so that now I can be whole. Amen. That's just good stuff, y'all. We just got to get to that. Amen. Brother Mike?
Amen. All right, folks. It does look like that's the end of our list of callers that we have. Pastor Steve, is there anything else that you'd like to close out on before we end the broadcast?
Amen. I'm glad that God turned it, because unfortunately, and I'll just have to seek him to see what he wants to do next time, because I haven't even got page one of the notes. That was just what came out of my spirit because of seeking him for you. And I just want you to know that the love of God, which is the thing he wants you to flow in, the thing he wants to be, if you would, that is his signature. That's the way I'm hearing it. That is his signature on your life, okay? Your possessions are not his signature on your life. Love is very simply God's signature on your life. So walk in love, determined to allow the love of God that was shed abroad in your heart to be seen, readily seen by those in your sphere of influence. Amen. Amen.
Amen. All right, folks. Well, that does conclude the end of our broadcast tonight. We would like to thank you for tuning in to us here live on Live Deliverance on blogtalk.com. If you've been blessed by any of the teachings that you've heard here, please sow a seed here at www.livedeliverance.com. As always, it has truly been a pleasure to be here with you each and every week, and we thank you for your continued support. Now, that being said, If it is the Lord's will, we will see you again here live next week on Live Deliverance on blogtalk.com. Shalom, everyone, and have a good night.
Amen. Shalom.
Amen. Shalom, everyone. Good night.